Welcome, church. Great to have you with us today, wherever you are, whether you're at home, in a cafe, whether you're in Queensland, New South Wales, New Zealand. We've got people beaming in from New Zealand today. We want to give you a very, very warm welcome. My name's Tony. I'm part of the team here at Impact Church. I want to take a few moments today to have a conversation with us all about what's going on in our world and how we as the people of God respond to this situation that we have found ourselves in. I want to talk to you today about being the fearless church. You know, the last few weeks, the last few days, the world has been thrown literally into turmoil. Things have changed, and some commentators are saying that things have changed forever in many, many ways. You've only got to look at the news and see what's going on in our supermarkets, the chaos, the panic buying, the behaviour of people that's very un-Australian, and it's not what we're used to. Big events have been cancelled. Sporting events are being cancelled. We're not allowed to gather with more than 100 people indoors, and so we're forced to do things a little bit differently. You know, for my generation, these times are unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this on the scale of what's taking place in our world today. We as a church are doing everything that we can to cooperate with the health authorities, the directives of our government, to keep people safe. This season of, you know, sanitizing hands and social distancing and staying home, it's not really all about us, it's all about everybody else. And so we do what we do, particularly to look after the vulnerable people in our community at large, the elderly, those that have compromised immune systems and just health circumstances. We're really concerned about them, and so we're all behaving ourselves during this season, and that's why we're doing church the way we are. You know, it doesn't mean we can't do church. We're still the church. We still are the church of Jesus Christ. We're just doing things a little bit differently to what we would normally do things, because the church is not a place. The church is a people. It's a people made up of many races, many tongues, many socioeconomic situations. And wherever we are, the Bible tells us that we are the church. I'm excited for this new season in some ways, because I think it brings unprecedented opportunities for the church to get out of the building. So much of what we do is contained within the four walls of this building and our buildings as churches. But from now on, we're out of the building and we're forced to go to the airways. We're forced to use social media as a platform to communicate. And it's a very, very exciting opportunity. So I think the best is yet to come. And I think these are the most exciting days for the Church of Jesus Christ. And so today we meet in many rooms all over the city, all over the nation. Today we're meeting. And you can watch this service as you are now live, or you have the option on our YouTube channel to watch it at a delayed time, any time during the week. We're going to be doing our best to be in constant communication with you, using our social media channels to communicate to you on a daily basis, because no longer does church just happen on a Sunday at 9 a.m. Now church happens anytime, all the time, anywhere, everywhere, and we're excited about that, about being the church. So we can still gather, we can still worship, we can still connect, we can still serve, we can still contribute, and we can still give. They are the things we are famous for, and they are the things we're going to continue to do. Social distancing. Who'd have thought? It's a new term. It's a new verbiage. It's a new language wrap that has been given to us about our behaviors. I want to highlight, as has already been said, that social distancing does not mean social disengaging. More than any other time, we need to be socially engaged right now. We just need to do it in creative ways. We need to do it in protective ways. We need to do it in safe ways. And so I want to encourage you, don't isolate. Don't isolate yourself in these moments. Don't go into hiding. Don't go into a cave. Make sure you're in contact with your broader world, with your church family in this unique season. So we meet and we gather in other forums. We plan to keep worshipping. We plan to keep encouraging. We plan to keep caring. We plan to keep sharing. We plan to keep preaching. We plan to keep doing what we do as the church. We plan to let the light shine. We plan to be salt to our city and to be here to help people. So today, I want to take a few moments to share some insights about the crisis and how we're going to respond as a church. And I want to help every one of us personally, individually. I want to help families today. I want to help parents today. I want to help us in this challenging season. It's emotionally challenging, physically challenging, economically it's extremely challenging, socially it's challenging, and also relationally. You know, in moments like these, people's hearts get heavy and people's spirits get heavy. People get a little bit edgy because of the constant bombardment that happens in the media about the coronavirus. And it's good. We need the news. We need to be informed. We need to be educated about what's going on in the community. But it's relentless at the moment. It's everywhere. It's in our face all the time. It's resulting in a lot of fear. Fear that's driving people in negative ways, and we need to learn to respond to the fear that happens in our own hearts and the fear that happens in our nation and our community. And as a church, we need to know how to move forward and keep our family moving forward and being the church at this time. So I want to speak to your heart today. I want to speak to your spirit today. I want to speak to your family and your future today so that we realize some things that will empower us as we move forward. Firstly, my first big thought is, let's not shrink back in fear. Let's step forward in faith. Let's not shrink back as a church in fear at this time, but let's step forward in faith. We need to recognize that fear is a greater enemy than the virus itself. Fear is actually a greater enemy than the virus that we're dealing with across the world. The virus is here. It's here. We can't stop that. We can't change that. The virus has arrived. And there's no guarantee that somebody around your world, maybe even in your family, may get this virus. There's no guarantees that someone will not get infected. And the truth is, irrational fear is a greater enemy, and it's even more devastating to our lives than the virus. Fear polarizes people. Fear panics people. Fear causes people to do stupid. And we're seeing lots of stupid take place right now across our nation. Fear drives a nation's economy into recession. So we need to know how to respond to fear. And this is what Paul says to us in the Bible. He says in 1 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Church, I want you to know today, God's not given to us a spirit of fear, but he says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If ever there was a time and a need for a sound mind, it's today. And we need to face the future with a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. In Isaiah, it tells us this about the nature of God, where God speaks to his people Israel in a time much like we're experiencing now. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you." What comfort, what peace comes from just knowing that God's with us in this turmoil. And he says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I want you to know, church, God didn't leave when the virus arrived. God didn't leave the building. He didn't leave the city. He didn't leave the world on its own when the virus arrived. The presence of a problem like this virus doesn't mean the absence of God. God says, "I will strengthen you." God says, "I will help you." God says, "I will uphold you by my mighty right arm." That's the prayer of the church today. That's the prayer we're praying for you today, for your family, for your household, for your loved ones, for your business, for your career, for your job, for your income, for our nation, for its economy, that God would uphold us by his mighty right arm. A.W. Tozer, who was an amazing theologian of times past. He said this, he said, a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. You don't need me to tell you that the world is scared. You see it. You see the panic. The world is scared. And when the world is scared, the church needs to be strong. When the world is scared, the church needs to behave with a fearless spirit, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so my invitation today is, let's be that fearless church. Let's be that fearless church. Let's let the light shine. Let's get all the intelligence about this virus, but let's respond with the promises of God to the circumstance we find ourselves in. Let's be the people our friends need us to be right now. Let's be the neighbors our neighbors need us to be. Let's be the helpers to our community that our community needs us to be right now. I personally believe that this is possibly the time where the church is born for unprecedented opportunity and creativity for us to help people, for us to serve the community, and for us to get the message of God's love out to everybody in this time. Secondly, let's recognize the difference between a few facts and the whole truth. Let's recognize, let's use wisdom. Let's understand the difference between a few facts and the whole truth. You see, what we see and hear in the media oftentimes is a few facts. It's part of the truth. It's not the whole truth. And when you get part of the truth, it leads to distortion. It leads to an emphasis that's not particularly healthy for people, and it causes fear and it causes panic. The whole truth about the virus is actually more encouraging than what most people hear. The majority of people that are infected with this virus experience mild symptoms, is what we're told. From a statistical perspective, 81% of people will experience flu-like symptoms. 14% of people may end up hospitalized who capture the virus. And 5%, unfortunately, will have a critical response to this disease and will lose their life. And so, although the news is impacting, it's actually quite encouraging that so many recover and so many do well. But we need to look after our elderly in the community. We need to look after our vulnerable. We need to look after the compromised. And so that means we need to practice social distancing. We need to make sure we're not abusing the privilege of our social interactions right now. And so, do what you need to do for the sake of others. If you need to stay home and isolate, then make sure you stay home and do exactly what you're supposed to do. But on the other hand, I want to speak to the healthy people today. I want to speak to all of us. I want to encourage us that the majority of people are actually recovering. So stay calm. Stay calm. Hold your confidence. It's not true that everyone that catches this disease and this virus will die. Most will recover. The world has seen worse scenarios. The world has seen worse seasons than what we're experiencing right now. Now, the truth is, it may get a whole lot worse before it gets better. Things may get a lot worse in our nation. We may go down into lockdown. There are a lot more people that will capture this virus. There's no doubt about that. But we as a church need to respond with a spirit of faith, not with fear. This too will pass. It will pass. It will come to an end. You see, fear is not of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so as a church, let's not isolate, let's participate. Let's not isolate. It's not a time to isolate. This is a time to participate, and possibly a time to participate more than ever. So we don't have to stop being together. We don't have to hide in our homes and not have any contact with anybody. We just need to gather in creative ways. We need to gather in social formats online to help people stay engaged at this time. Our community needs us to do that. And so as a church, there's several things I'm going to ask us to do in terms of the way we participate in this unique season. Firstly, we need to communicate and connect more than normal. We need to communicate and connect more than normal. That means engage with your family, engage with your friends. That means check up on people, make the call. Don't send a text, make the call. Call your friends, call your family, call your loved ones, call people in church and stay in contact during this season. Don't just kick back and watch Netflix all day. If you do that, you're going to waste the season. Make the most of the opportunity to stay engaged in this time. Don't watch news feeds all day. That's only going to feed your fear. It's only going to feed your fear. Do some things that are going to practically feed your faith in this season. Church, we are family. Don't let anyone stand alone in this season. Don't let anyone stand alone. If you know people that are by themselves in our church community in this season, make sure you're reaching out. Make sure you're helping them. Make sure you're getting involved as much as you possibly can. The second thing we can do as a church throughout this season is contribute consistently. These are challenging times. I'm going to ask us as a community to stay faithful, to stay true in terms of our contribution to God's house and to God Himself. Let's be faithful and consistent in our giving. Let's keep investing our tithe during this season. If you don't normally give online or automatically, then now's the time to set that up. We're not hosting meetings in buildings anymore in this season. What we're doing is going digital with everything. And so if you need our account details in terms of giving, you can get those on our website. Make sure you visit there, get that information, and be faithful and consistent in giving. Our church needs all of us to be faithful in this regard, particularly in this season. I'm asking you to champion the church online. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking us to treat this as a convenient option. I'm asking us to treat this as our only option. This is our best option for this time and as we move forward. So please, if we can continue to come together online. I know it's a little different. You're probably kicking back today at your kitchen table, in the lounge room. Hopefully you're able to get it up on your TV if you've got a smart TV. If you've got a dumb one, you're probably using your phone today. Or maybe an iPad. However you're doing it, it doesn't matter. You might be in your pajamas, that's okay. You might be eating your cereals and your breakfast today and have the courier mail beside you. We don't care how you're doing it. We just care you're doing it. And that you cheer online church and be all in. Why don't you consider maybe hosting a watch party if you can do that? A watch party is just getting another family over with you. If that's safe for you to do, you're able to do that in your environment. Why don't you do that and get together with a few others from church world, church life, and watch and do church together? Get into relational settings where you can continue to participate. One church in many different rooms right across our nation. Cheer on the worship. Cheer on our creative team as they're bringing live worship to you. Cheer on the preacher because he's doing his best to bring the word of God to you and into your home. Take photos. Take photos of your worship experience, of you, your family, selfies, doing church at home. Send them into us on our Facebook feed so that we can share that with our broader church community. I want you to treat this as real church because this is real. We're treating it as real. We're treating these moments as moments to minister into the hearts of people. We're treating this moment as a moment to call our church to become a fearless church in a society that has found itself all of a sudden wrapped in fear. So do these moments with respect. Do them with reverence. Make it special. Put the message, put the worship on a big screen. Turn the volume up nice and loud. Don't mute the pastor. Don't mute him. It's worth hearing and worth listening to. And pray. Pray for our city. Pray for our nation. Pray for our world. Pray for our church. Pray for people that you love right now because prayer changes everything. I want to draw to a close today by declaring over our church Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm I read often when people find themselves in turmoil. It's the psalm I read often to remind myself of where my trust needs to be when I'm in a season that I don't understand what is going on. I want to read these verses to you today to encourage every one of us in this moment with everything that's happening. Psalm 91 verses 1 to 2 says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord, that He alone is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings, and His faithful promises are your armor and your protection." I want us to understand today it's God's faithful promises that are our armor and that are our protection. He's covering us today. He's surrounding us today. He's in your home with you right now. He's with you as you're watching church online. And we're praying today that God will be with every one of us, watching over us and protecting us in this moment. And so the psalmist goes on to say, "Do not dread the disease." So don't walk in fear. Don't walk in fear about this. "Nor the disaster that strikes at midday." He says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No pestilence will come near your home. For God will order His angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will hold you with their hands. The Lord says, "I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue, I will honor them, and I will reward them with a long life, and I will give them my salvation." That's my declaration over our church community today. That's my declaration for every one of us today, individually. That's my declaration for your business today. I know many are challenged about work right now and concerned about your future income and what the next 6 months, what the rest of this year is going to look like. Trust God. Trust God in this moment. Trust God in this season. Look to God in this season. Treat this season as a special season, as a season for God to do some significant things in your life and also in our church. Let's keep moving life forward. This virus will not destroy us. This virus will not define us. Keep the faith. Hold on strong. Remain confident. And see God turning this around. We sang before a song that talked about what was intended for evil, God will use it to turn for good. And we're praying that. And I'm going to pray that prayer for you right now. If you want to receive this prayer, I'm asking you right now, wherever you are, wherever you're viewing from, why don't you just reach out your hand right now. And I'm going to pray for you and your family. Maybe you're in a place right now where you need to place your faith and your confidence and your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God at this point in time. Today's a great moment for you to say yes to Jesus. I want you to know God loves you today. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He did it for everybody. He didn't do it for church people. He didn't do it for religious people. He did it for all the people. He did it for everybody. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Giving your life and surrendering your life to God is simple as saying yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus today. If you need to say yes, why don't you just lift up your hand today and own this prayer with me today as I pray. And I pray for you, for your family, for your business, for your world. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We're praying that you would watch over us. We're praying that you would protect us. We're praying today for people that are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time, reaching out their hand and saying, "God, I need you." I'm praying, come into their hearts, come into their lives, come into their homes. Forgive them of their sin and help them to walk trusting in you. today, from this day on, I pray they would get to know you and you would abide in them, watch over them and protect them. Father, I pray, protect the church today. Let the church be strong. Let the church be fearless today. When the world's scared, we need to be fearless. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Lord, protect people's businesses. Protect people's workplaces today. Protect their incomes. We give all of our worries and concerns to you today, and we trust in you, that you are our provider. You are our protector. Cover us with your wings today and help us in this season. Bless our nation today and the nations of the world. We pray for our governmental leaders today. We pray, give them the strength, the capacity, the wisdom to do what needs to be done, the courage to take the decisions that need to be made to help us remain a great nation. Father, we commit ourselves into your care, and we're praying, turn this around for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy